The brutal attack of that day brought sharply into focus the danger the free world faces and which it must overcome. Now, I wish to turn to the question of why this mad attack was launched. The briefest answer, and perhaps the best, is contained in a phrase used by Mr. Paul Hoffman, director of ECA, when he called the Republic of Korea a bastion of democracy in Asia. The continued existence of the Republic of Korea could not be tolerated by the communists. It was too much of a success. The Republic of Korea was the only part of Northern Asia which was not in communist hands. So long as the Republic of Korea continued to exist, the people of Asia would know that the United States and the rest of the free world renounced aggression. To our witness stand, testifying to the degree of success which the Republic of Korea has been making since 1948, we could bring the United Nations Commission on Korea, which has certified our two general elections, one held in 1948 and one held in May of this year, as both fair and free. I was also to cite the words of a great American, Mr. John Foster Dulles, who visited Korea just 1 week before the blow was struck, in explaining to the American people why he thought the attack was made. He said that the communists struck in force because the society was so wholesome that it could not be overthrown from within. He further said, and I now quote, "I was in Korea and saw with my own eyes that the Republic of Korea was a land of freedom," end of quotation. We Koreans realize with a full solemnity the great global will to peace which has drawn so many people to our side. In all our 4,000 years of history, the Korean people have never fought an aggressive war. We have no designs upon the territory, the rights of the security of any nation. All we want is the restoration of our own homeland under the government of our own free choice. We have had a government of our own free choice since 1948, and this, the Russian-inspired, Russian-supported, and the Russian-directed invasion sought to crush. If aggression is encouraged by one triumph, it will seek still more. Surely, this is one lesson which the 20th century has had much cause to learn. A true and lasting peace can be effected only when the aggressors are completely subdued and disarmed. Only then would our compatriots in North Korea be able to enjoy freedom and democracy. To say that the people and the government of the Republic of Korea are grateful for the generous and sacrificial support of the overwhelming majority of the members of the United Nations that have placed themselves at our side is but a weak way of saying what is in our hearts. Our feelings are especially deep and warm for the great contribution of the people of the United States, whose armies fought in our behalf during the last war and whose sons are now giving their lives in our homeland to safeguard the cause of freedom. We cannot believe that such devotion, such sacrifices will be in vain. We can only believe that they mark the eventual dawn of a new day when peace and security will be restored to all the yearning people of the world.
Thank you. Thank you, Ambassador Chang. The ambassador from Korea has said that the continued existence of the Republic of Korea could not be tolerated by the communists because it was too much of a success. Do you agree, Mr. Bond?
I certainly do, Mr. Ackerman. I believe that the existence of a working example of the advantages of democracy over totalitarianism on their very periphery posed a threat which the communists felt they could no longer tolerate.
On the other hand, it has been reported that the United States record in Korea is not a successful or a happy one, that we fail to understand the tremendous popular Korean demand for independence and reform. While the Russians in the North set up an all-Korean communist government, avoiding direct intervention in Korean affairs, when General Hodge landed in Seoul, we proclaimed that in South Korea, military government is the only government. We then continued to employ Japanese police and officials and failed to push for land reforms quickly enough. Did the American government fail in aiding the Korean government toward a development of democracy? Mr. Bunce, what do you think about this?
Well, I think it's rather strange that you have this statement of the North Koreans. They avoided direct intervention in Korean affairs, while in South Korea, we did the opposite. I've known many of the 2 million refugees that came down from North Korea fleeing from the Soviet regime. And the one thing they always told me when they came to South Korea was, here you can speak freely. Here there is freedom. In North Korea, we're under a police reign of terror. That's true.
On the other hand, Mr. Bunce, did they not have land reform in North Korea?
They had land reform in North Korea, which was quite different to the one we had in South Korea. In South Korea, we took a little longer to do some of these things. But the basic direction in which we were going was sound and towards democracy and freedom for the people.
How does it compare with the North Korean land reform?
Well, in South Korea, we took the Japanese land and we distributed it to 500,000 farm peasants. They paid 20% for 15 years. In North Korea, they never got any deeds to the land, and they paid 35% per year in taxes. In other words, they were much worse off in North Korea under the North Korean system than they were under the South Korean land reform.
Almost twice as badly off, in other words.
Yes.
But you have mentioned that Japanese-owned lands were distributed. Was that the only reform that was carried out?
Following that reform, the Korean government put in its own land reform law, which was passed in 1949 and was being implemented very rapidly. By November this year, if we had not had the invasion, tenancy would have been wiped out in Korea as been known as the past. There would have only been 5 to 10% of the farmers tenants, and they would have been tenants of state-owned land.
And that is a normal rate of tenancy in any event, is it not?
Well, you have to have a small amount of tenancy in changing over from land ownership from one person to another. The other things that we did, and in military government, for example, we set up a Korean interim government. The Americans became advisors. They were not directors any longer. And we also developed the basis upon which there was a free election held under the United Nations auspices. The criticisms of the police have been made, but again, we were trying to build up a police system, and it was not perfect.
One thing is often said about Syngman Rhee's government, that Rhee is running a police state. Now, you don't agree with this, Mr. Bunce.
I think that you've got to look at it two ways. The idea of a police state is something which would make it completely impossible to have a free election. Now, Mr. Bond, don't you agree that the last election was relatively free from your background?
I do, Dr. Bunce. It seems to me that the police state charge can be pretty effectively answered by recalling the circumstances surrounding the Korean elections of 1948 and 1950, both of which were observed by United Nations commissions, and both of which were found by those commissions to have been fair and free elections.
You have said that the elections in 1948 and 1950 were fair and free, but it is reported that the 1948 elections in Korea were preceded by 589 political deaths and an estimated 10,000 arrests, and that the elections were boycotted by all parties of the left and center. Because these parties abstained voluntarily, the United Nations Commission recognized the election. But how representative or how popular is the government on the basis of such an election?
Mr. Ackerman, I'm not familiar with the figures which you cite, but I would refer again to the judgment of the UN Commission on Korea, an international and presumably an impartial body. I would point out also that the 1948 balloting was held in the face of communist threats to break up the elections by force if necessary, and that reasonable precautions were not only wise but essential.
Mr. Bunce, you have a comment on this.
I want to make one comment on this police system and the police threat. One thing that we've got to recognize is that during this period, the communists were moving down from North Korea. They'd attack police boxes, they'd shoot the policemen. They then take the families of the policemen and shoot them and burn their homes. And the police retaliated. Force begets force. It isn't something that we desire, but it's something that it seems to me we have to face up to realistically.
Mr. Bond.
With respect to the boycotting of the elections by left and center parties which you mentioned, While it's true that certain middle-of-the-road groups boycotted the 1948 elections for fear of perpetuating the division of their country, it's worth noting that these same groups not only participated in the 1950 elections, but, according to the report of the UN Commission, made the most significant gains in the balloting.
Other than promoting free elections and the beginning of democracy in Korea, what else have we done to help the Korean people? That is, we need to have support for democracy economically, for instance.
Well, in economics, I think that we have developed under ECA a program of rehabilitation. We've been developing their coal resources, power resources, building new railroads, developing their fishing fleet. We have increased industrial production at least 50%. We have irrigation projects, forestry projects. And when you look over the whole picture of South Korea as it was, the land reform and the increased agricultural production, which had increased 20%, meant the farmers were better off than they'd ever been in their lives before. We did not achieve as much for the workers as we had liked. The one thing...
Thank you, gentlemen. Today's University of Chicago roundtable was on Korea, the second in a series of programs on problems of Asia. Taking part were the ambassador from Korea to the United States, Dr. Jamin Chang, Niles Bond, officer in charge of Korean affairs in the Office of Northeast Asian Affairs, Department of State, Arthur C. Bunce, just returned this week from Korea, where he was chief of the ECA mission, and Edward A. Ackerman, geographer of the University of Chicago. Be sure to order a copy of today's roundtable pamphlet, which includes the full text of today's discussion and valuable supplementary materials. You will want to purchase copies of this important pamphlet so that you may have a permanent record of today's discussion and the additional special materials. Individual copies are 10 cents in coin. Send 10 cents with your order to the University of Chicago Roundtable, Chicago 37, Illinois. A full year's subscription to the Roundtable pamphlet costs only $3. Enclose $3 with your order and make your subscription begin with today's discussion of Korea, the second in a roundtable series on the Far East. I'll repeat the address. The University of Chicago Roundtable, Chicago 37, Illinois. And now a special announcement. For the next 2 weeks, the roundtable interrupts this series to present two discussions on human rights. Alice Bebler, Yugoslav delegate to the UN, Charles Malik, UN delegate from Lebanon, and Richard McKeon, philosopher, and members of past American delegations to UNESCO will take part in next week's program. Be sure to listen. Today's roundtable originated in Washington, D.C. and New York and came to you in part by transcription. The roundtable is directed by George E. Probst. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.